Welcome to Deloitte Global Insights, a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited. Deloitte Global Insights is an audio news podcast that looks at important cross-border issues that affect the global business community. I'm Stephen Heasley, and I'll be your host for today's program. Here come more data caps. It's the end of the line, or at least the wire line, for unlimited internet. Part of a series examining the 2012 TMT predictions. Each year, the Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited Global Technology, Media, and Telecommunications Group looks at trends for the coming year in its series of predictions. This is the 11th year for predictions, which are compiled from conversations with TMT companies, industry analysts, trade organizations, and member firm partners and senior practitioners. Here today to discuss the end of unlimited data is Duncan Stewart. Duncan is director of Deloitte Canada Research and co-author of TMT Predictions. Duncan, welcome.
Happy to be here.
All right, Duncan. I have firsthand experience with this prediction. Last month, I received quite a shock when my home internet bill was over 10 times my normal monthly charge. Now, apparently, my data plan had switched from unlimited to limited without a whole heck of a lot of notice. So what's going on in the world of internet data caps?
Well, I'm going to challenge. I bet you actually got 15 different emails saying, by the way, you were about to switch plans and you just didn't know.
Hey,
at least if you're anything
details,
like me.
We're not discussing the details.
But let's go back a little bit. First of all, most people already know this stuff has gone on with wireless. I mean, we all remember the day when you could sign up for $20-$30 a month and get unlimited data on your wireless phone, and then all of a sudden everybody bought smartphones and everybody was watching videos and the networks got full, and that went away pretty quickly. The all-you-can-eat buffet closed down and the meter started running on wireless. But heck, on our landlines, I mean, those have so much more capacity. Well, we'll never need to put the meter on those, and recent data from the OECD completely supported this. When I look at a list here of, I think it's 35 different countries, only in five countries, some pretty small ones, was there a majority of ISPs having a data cap on the wireline connection. As a matter of fact, in more than half of countries, there was no caps whatsoever. And that was something that people enjoyed. But anytime you open an all-you-can-eat buffet, you get an awful lot of people going back for seconds, thirds, fourths, fifths, and watching an awful lot of video and downloading an awful lot of data. And what we're starting to see is that the carriers, the ISPs, are seeing congestion in their networks. And the way that they can manage that congestion is to put a meter on and try to prevent people from using too much data. So that's kind of the economic rationale behind it. Around the world, we're predicting that literally hundreds of millions of people in 100 million plus households in the next year will all of a sudden see their plans move from unlimited to some form of limited. Now, there are different ways of doing it. Sometimes it's a hard data cap, and once you go over it, you need to pay money. Sometimes it's an explicit cap, but what they'll do is they'll slow down your service. Now I've heard people complaining about that and saying, well, it can be really bad. In our research, we actually discovered one ISP that if you go over the data cap, they slow you down to 64 kilobits per second, which isn't going to let you do an awful lot of much. So it's funny. If you think your data cap throttling is bad, you got to go try that ISP.
Oh, interesting. So they can actually cut you off, but another thing they can do is sort of rein you in and actually slow down the speed of your internet data.
That's actually the most common solution when we look at it around the world. The ones where you pay a per gigabit overage charge, those are a little bit rarer, although we in fact see that mix shifting. We think more people are going to move to a per gigabit data charge rather than throttling because people hate being slowed down. They'd actually rather pay a little bit extra and be able to continue surfing.
So what's really at the root of this? I mean, what's really causing this decrease in the all-you-can-eat data offers?
It's just about fixed wireline networks have way more capacity than cellular, but they don't have infinite capacity. And in the short term, the bandwidth demand from users is growing significantly faster than the ability of ISPs to provide the bandwidth necessary. Now, that will change. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when we've all got fiber optic going to every single home, we'll probably see all-you-can-eat plans come back in. And matter of fact, in some countries where there are extensive fiber optic networks, there are bandwidth caps or data caps, but they are in the terabit range, so almost nobody ever runs into those. So what we end up expecting to see is that in the short term, this is going to be used by ISPs as a way of managing congestion on their network, and over the long term, it will become less of an issue. But But in the short term, it's a very real issue, and it's a way that they're trying to distribute the bandwidth load so that those of us who don't use quite as much data as some others are able to enjoy an equally good internet experience.
Well, you mentioned distribution. So is data usage, is it spread fairly even throughout the day, or how do usage patterns impact data caps?
No, the data peak tends to be at, not surprisingly, sort of 4 in the afternoon to about 10 o'clock at night. 3 in the morning, there's not nearly as much data going across. One of the challenges, of course, is it would make a lot of sense to manage congestion. Is if you could move a lot of that data use from prime time to 3 in the morning, that's fairly hard to do with existing technology. There's no question, whether you talk to internet users, regulators, or in fact ISPs, the idea of a monthly data cap is a pretty broad brush way of trying to manage congestion. It would be really great if you could just slow it down at certain times and speed it up at others, but the tools for that are not actually all that available. So at least for now, it appears that monthly data caps are the most effective and easily implemented way of managing congestion.
And to put it into perspective, Deloitte predicts that really data caps are likely to affect only a small proportion of the highest users. So I guess what you would call power users, probably people like you and I. So how does this impact the overall consumer reaction to data caps, so people who aren't necessarily power users?
Well, that's been one of the interesting things. Around the world, there was sort of an assumption for a number of years that once you gave people all you could eat, you could never move them back onto the meter. And then they did that. They had to do it in wireless, and they moved from all you can eat to metered. And people complained, but customers didn't quit. They kind of understood the logic. Similarly, around the world, as we are seeing data caps being put on internet usage at the wireline side, once again, although there have been protests and all the people have said, well, we don't like this, we prefer the old way, the number of people complaining has been relatively small. Most estimates show that at a reasonable level of data cap, somewhere in the 150 to 400 gigabits per month, at that sort of level, fewer than 1% of all of an ISP's customers will have any effect whatsoever from a data cap. Now, fairly obviously, that 1% is going to complain pretty ferociously because they don't want to have to pay more. But as we've seen around the world, as carriers do move from an all-you-can-eat plan towards some sort of data cap, we have not seen tremendous resistance. By and large, these things they're never enjoyed, but they end up passing. And then, 6 months later, people kind of just get used to it.
Makes you wonder what the even more distant future may bring. Well, Duncan, as always, thank you so much for joining us today on Deloitte Global Insights.
Thank you, Stephen.
Visit www.deloitte.com/predictions2012. to access this year's predictions for technology, media, and telecommunications. Visit www.deloitte.com/global for more on Deloitte member firms' involvement in this industry, as well as other industries and service lines. You've been listening to Deloitte Global Insights, the program that looks at today's important cross-border business issues. We want to hear from you. Contact us with your feedback or suggestions for future podcast topics, and find Deloitte Global Insights at www.deloitte.com/podcasts. This has been a production of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now. Deloitte refers to one or more of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited, a UK private company limited by guarantee, and its network of member firms, each of which is a legally separate and independent entity. Please see www.deloitte.com/about for a detailed description of the legal structure of Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu Limited and its member firms.